Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another wonderful day that He has made. These are good days, God days. These are the days before the end times. And we need to know the Lord now. God, the Lord needs us to obey Him now. We need His love, we need His understanding, His patience. All the wonderful things that the Word of God has given us, we need it now. And we need to know Him. And that, and in order to know Him, it takes faith. Faith is required to know the heart of God. These broadcasts are called Heart to Heart. I'm speaking from the heart, relaying to this audience what the Lord has given me from His heart. And the Lord told me a long time ago when I ministered, He's not talking to people's minds. He's talking to their heart. And he speaks to us in our heart. That's where the Word of God grows. That's where the Word of God takes root. That's where it develops into faith. See, the Word of God is faith. It's what God said. And when we believe what God said, that's our faith. And faith is an active, is a verb more than a noun, because it's defined as a definer. When you believe God and you speak, you're redefining things that are. Well, you're defining things that are not into what they are and what you claim to them to be. You know, when a sinner believes on Jesus Christ, and he believes it by faith, automatically, from the moment he first believed and spoke that he believed it, he's redefined as God's child. He's God's man, or he's God's boy. If it's a woman, she's God's woman or God's girl. We're redefined. We're something new, a new creation. The man on a sick bed, he believes for healing. He hears the word, it develops into faith. And he puts a claim on the promise that Jesus already provided for him. And he quotes Isaiah 53:5, that by Jesus' stripes I am healed. He makes it personal. And when he prays or confesses that he's healed, and he's taken his healing by faith. So from that moment on, he's redefined from a dying man to a living man. And his symptoms will be gone. His body will be cured by Jesus Christ. God can legally cure him because by Jesus' stripes we're healed. And the way it works is faith with no doubt. So faith is a definer. And after the Lord had taught me that, about a year later, he said, faith is the highest form of sincerity. So I said, wait a minute, Lord. Now you told me, and I've taught, that faith is a definer. And he said, faith is the highest form of sincerity, or faith is a definer because faith is the highest form of sincerity. And it is a definer, and it is also the highest form of sincerity. We understand it. We're taking God at His word. And a person that takes God at His word, that's the highest form of sincerity. And then we worship God from spirit and in spirit and in truth. Our worship is faith-based. Faith comes first. How can you worship somebody that you don't know and understand? In order to have faith, we have to receive what God said about Himself. We have to receive those promises. That's how we're introduced to Him. That's how we learn who He is. He's not a mystery anymore. He's up close and personal. And when we speak His word, we change the facts on the ground where we are. We change things from what they're not into what we need them to be. And our lives are made new. And as we practice God's word and take it by faith and obey Him, even our influence comes to life. And everything about us, the healing from the moment we first believed on Jesus Christ, from that second, that moment, that quick moment, a healing process begins in us. And salvation is introduced to us in seed form. Just like everything that God made. Even the universe started in seed form. And the Lord was light. And he chose wisdom in the beginning of his way. Now because of Jesus Christ, we've been made everlasting. And because we're made in God's image, from the moment we were created, we became everlasting. But when Adam introduced sin into our race, our body is not everlasting. It will die. But our spirit man is everlasting. Now when Jesus came and died for us, all those who believe, he died for every soul, but every soul that believe on Jesus Christ, they become everlasting. Excuse me. And they'll live to God in heaven. But those that die without Christ, they got to pay for their own sins, and they'll be out. They won't stop existing, and they can't stop existing. They'll never go back to being not. They always will be, whether in heaven or in hell. They will be, because they're everlasting. Now God is eternal. He's the beginning. He's the end. As far as you can go backwards, God was. As far as you can go in the past, and as far as you can go forward in the future, God is. When he told Pharaoh, told Moses, tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. He always is. He is. He said, I am that I am. Now, that means he's eternal. And he made us everlasting. We're made in his image. We are not God, but we're made like him. And everything about God starts in seed form. So does our healing process. Our salvation comes in healing. Our understanding starts in seed form. Our salvation starts in seed form. The healing process began in us in seed form. And the more we receive God's word, the more we heal, the better we live, the greater we are. We're more like him, less like the world. And that process started in seed form, and it grows. It grows great. Even our faith can start in seed form. We heard the word one day. Somebody had enough boldness to tell us that Jesus loved us, that he died for us, and we get to live forever if we want to. And we believed it, and now here we are. Now, Lucifer fell. Now, Lucifer also, he understands the principles of God. We're fighting an enemy that understood once the word of God. And he know biblical principles and how they work. But he got into rebellion and pride, so he knows how to trick mankind. And sin also starts like in seed form. You know, Jesus said, be aware of the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Pharisees. When he put the Pharisees first, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And we explained that a few broadcasts back. Won't go and do it again. But leaven works. You can take a crumb of leaven and put it in a barrel of yeast. A barrel of flour. Now leaven is yeast. And in due time, the whole barrel will be yeast. But sin is infection. Now, it's infectious. But holiness is not infectious. You have to choose to believe and hear God's word to become God-like. In other words, your character won't just automatically grow and become like God's character. Even though we've been made a brand new creature. If you get a brand new computer, for instance, a brand new laptop or tablet or PC, you get a brand new one and there's nothing wrong with it. Well, for it to do what you want it to do, you got to program it. Well, our heart is like a brand new PC or a brand new laptop. And then we have to program it so we can use it. Well, so it is with Adam in the tree of life. There was nothing wrong with Adam. Adam was going to live forever if he didn't eat off any tree. But eating off the tree of life, representing putting forth the effort to learn who God is, taking God at His word. That's the first initial step. Believing on Jesus Christ, hearing and doing His word. All these things work together to help us to be like the Lord is. And we produce after our kind. The Lord has done these things because He loves us and He cares for us. And He has great things in store for us as we obey and follow Him. This process of gradual growth from faith to faith starts. We have to cooperate with the Word of God. We have to act on it. We have to speak it. And then the process continues from faith to faith. But those who rebel do otherwise. They grow wrong. They grow into something that they really don't want to be. Now, the last time we talked about holy anger, yesterday's website broadcast, the one before this one, and how God was angry at the sin that mankind would do. Now, today, He wanted me to show you how it forms. And this is very important to understand. This is why people get off track, why they go forward the wrong way. And they build according to the world instead of according to the Lord. And this is a parable that Jesus taught. This is Mark chapter 4. And verse 1 begins, "And He began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on land. And He taught them many things by parables, said unto them in His doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and divided up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth, some 30, some 60, some 100. And He said to them, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when He was alone, they that were about Him with the 12 asked of Him the parable." Now watch this. Jesus spoke parables to everybody. But he gave the interpretation to those who asked. One of the best things you can do for yourself is ask God your questions. If you want to know something, one way you'll get to know the Lord is to ask Him questions. If you don't ask Him questions, you're going to depend on what you already know. With that, whatever you learn from Him, mix faith with it. Believe Him, so that the Word will take root in you, because you're going to need all of God's Word. Jesus said, "A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That means if God said it, we need it. The written word that's already been proven, it's unfallible, it's a blessing. Nations have been built. People have been made mighty. People have done great and mighty things. Impossible things have been done because of God's word, because of the Holy Bible, His written word. And Satan hates it. So never forget that fact. And the Word of God will teach you that Satan hates it. And he'll try to fight you for using it. But overcome him. Jesus overcame him. You overcome him. Because He gave us power and authority over Satan. So the Word of God needs to take roots in your heart. And you have to get rid of the things that bear no fruit, cause you to be sterile. And you want your heart to be a good heart so that you can go forward. But to his people who ask him questions, just like now, when people ask God questions in sincerity, and they take him at his word and obey and speak God's word in their lives grow and graduate. When people who fail to ask questions and try to get an understanding, their lives go like it's going to go anyway. And it's not, they don't see God's best, and they can't, there's some things you're not going to understand unless you get an understanding, ask God questions, learn from him, and act on what he say do. Acting on the word of God gives you another advantage. You're going to learn details about God's word that you couldn't have learned any other way. Now, this is the breakdown. I love this part. Verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So if you've been blood washed, it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Just be humble, because God gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. And never forget that. Because if you go proud-wise, you're not going to learn much from him. But if you're humble to God, there's nothing you can't learn. And some things take more. Some wisdom takes more situations for you to receive. Remember, God gave you the answer. He said you'd have the answer. Just keep seeking him and don't stop. You'll get to learn whatever it is. Some things he can answer immediately, and some things he'll give it to you over time. However God give it to you, thank him for it and go forward. With that being said, verse 12. Verse 11, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. The Lord will say things to pique their curiosity so that they'll ask questions, so that they'll trust him and they'll come out of the world. Because they're still without. Most principles of God are understood precept upon precept, line on line. It takes time. See, when the Lord starts teaching you, a healing process begins and you graduate, you grow in your faith. But whatever question you have, even if it's something you don't think you can handle the answer to, ask him anyway. You'll get it. Verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. For clarity's sake, I'm going to go back to 11. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, verse 12 could sound mean, but it's not. Because people who are hard-headed, they are rebellious, and they're proud, they will take the information of God and use it against God's people. So, he's going to leave them to themselves. He gave them the parable because God is merciful. And some of them may not deserve it, but he'll give them the parable so that they can come out of the world. But he's not going to, you know, Jesus died for everybody. But people that are proud and rebellious, they're not going to receive it. And you can't come to the Lord and bring your wicked ways to heaven with you. You got to drop those wicked ways at the gate. You have to repent. And the preachers that, you know, the super grace messages that leave out repentance, that's not real. That's just phony foolishness. That's what God is angry about. But we're going to get to that. We already dealt with it, but we're going to talk about it more later. Verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Now, remember, I'm showing how rebellion starts. Man was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, right? We need to be saved. We need salvation. A healing process has to begin in each of us. So if we remain worldly under Satan's world system And that remains our logic. We're not alive to God. And our spirit man is not renewed. Or anybody who is that way, mine is renewed. I can't say that. But anybody who didn't get saved, their spirit man is not renewed. And they are still unclean before God. And now they're breathing and walking around, so they're half dead. If their body stops working, they'll be completely dead. And they'll have to deal with the second death. And immediately they'll go to hell. Even if they're kind. Even if they do things to help others. Even if they lay down on a grenade to keep their brethren from getting blown to pieces in war. Even if they sacrifice themselves, if they don't get saved, they cannot go to heaven. Now I put it blunt so people will understand the seriousness of salvation. And God can't go back on his word. You got to believe on him. The only thing, most people that will sacrifice themselves will believe on Jesus. That's the good thing. But some people, they don't think they need it. They've been taught wrong. They entered into some man-made religion and they won't listen. And they might be, otherwise good people. They'll get a good funeral, but that don't mean nothing. They still won't go to heaven. Because everybody that go to heaven believes, they believe on what Jesus did for them. All right. Jesus said, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word." That's the preacher, or that's the Christian who speaks God's word. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now, the wayside is the hard place. It's dirt. It's not rocks. It's dirt. But the dirt has been compacted because that's a pathway that people walk on. And every time people walk on it continually, and the horses ride over, the carriages ride, that ground becomes hard to cement. Now that was a road that we used to love to ride our bicycles down. Whoever had the nerve would ride their bicycle down this road. And the grade was pitched so steep, you could barely walk up it. You could walk up it, but you have to lean forward to walk up that hill. I don't even know how they built houses on that road. And we call that road suicide. And when you ride down suicide, you had to you went up a small hill and made a quick right turn. So if you drove down in the car, you had to hold the brakes. And then you had to be ready to make that right turn. And a friend of mine, John Steve, was riding a bicycle down that hill, and he had Derek Maddox on the handlebars. And he rolled down suicide and made that right turn. And the tire got on the edge of the road. One more inch, they would have both been in that ditch. But they made it. Thank God they made it. And they would have been hurt. But they made it. And then people talked about it for years. Now, they eventually, the airport bought the neighborhood my mom lived in and the neighborhoods around it. And this was in Zion City, over near East Lake Park. In the Birmingham area. So when the airport bought that land, they tore down that road, that suicide hill. And for years, a year or two went by, that ground didn't grow anything. You could see the grass on both sides of it, and you could see the dirt because the ground was so hard, nothing grew there. That's like the wayside. Okay, I said all that to give you that illustration. Sometimes people don't clarify what the wayside is. That's the walking path. That's the hard ground. Now, if it was plowed up, it'll grow. And eventually, over the years, you can't tell what suicide was. I went down that road. It's grass now. But back then, it was hard. And these are they that was... by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Alright? The ground was too hard for the seed to operate in. And the birds could see it, and they come and get it out. Now, when people hear the word in their heart is heart, the devil comes, or demons will come, and aggravate their life and steal that word from them. Because, see, the seed of God's word has a charge to it. And it will charge you. You can feel the peace of God's word. There's hope in it. There's goodness in it. But if your heart is hard, it can be taken from you, and it'll be as if you never heard it. And then in place of it, he'll give you a negative opinion. Now, this is how rebellion starts. All right? This is the first way it starts, when people harden their heart, when they hear the word. And they turn it off, and they won't listen, and they avoid people who will tell them the truth, and form a negative opinion about those that are good, those that have gotten saved. And then the devil will give them all kind of wild thoughts like, you think you're better than me. And it's not that. This is love-based. God loves everybody. Everybody needs to be saved. And we who tell people the truth of God's word, we're helping. We're trying to keep them out of hell. That's what we're doing. Nobody deserves heaven. But they get caught up. I heard so many times, you think you're better than me. No. I think you're made in God's image, and there's more to you than that, than what's been revealed, even to yourself. And I believe that God loves you, and Jesus paid a high cost to save you, because you're very, very valuable to Him. But most people don't give you a chance to say all that. So when I preach, when I got them at a funeral or they're at church and I'm teaching, and people that don't know I'm to go, I tell them these things. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Now this also is dirt, but there's rocks around, gravel, you know, stony ground, even stones mixed with the dirt, and the roots can't grow deep. Now, some people are like this. They'll receive the word, they'll be happy, they can feel the joy in God's word, the hope that it has, they can see themselves saved, but they don't take time and study and get understanding and ask God questions and learn who God is. They don't go back, they're too lazy to read the word of God. So the devil gonna come and figure out what buttons to push to aggravate their life. And when he does that, you're challenged because of what you believe. And he'll make you feel like people are going to be against you if you believe on Jesus Christ. Or it's going to cost you. Your boss might fire you. And you get into different forms of fear. Or your wife your reluctant wife might leave that you love. Or your reluctant husband may leave because you fall in love with God. And you didn't take time to grow the roots deep. Now, your heart could have been a good heart, but there's too many rocks around. And what a person will have to do naturally is dig up the rocks. Get rid of the negative opinions, the falseness of the world, and let your heart be soft. Don't let anything outside trip you up. Don't let anything that's outside of you cause you to be reluctant against the word of God. Don't be bothered by what you lose because you love God, and it will work. All right, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no roots in themselves, and endure before a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And when that happens, my friend, that's another point trap of rebellion. You start rebelling against God. Now, this is another one that a lot of Christians, I've seen this mostly, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You can't be distracted and prosper correctly. Some people get into they start desiring riches. Anything that you put before God If your eye be single, your whole body is full of light. But if you're distracted by the worldly things, that can become, the worldly things can become more important than the heart of God. And then it causes you to be sterile. You can't bear fruit. And that's not God's will. And you start doing underhanded things in order to, you know, the things that are more important, you start doing that and your heart gets harder. And that's another trick of the enemy and another point of rebellion. And then, verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, Psalm 30, Psalm 60, and Psalm 100-fold. These are they who receive the word. It becomes a part of who they are. They receive it in their character, in their speech. They speak it, and their lives grow from faith to faith. And they don't make God angry at them. There's no holy anger against them, because if they miss it somewhere, even if they sin, God will quickly forgive them, and they'll learn to do it right. And they won't take, people who love God, they are less likely to fall in Satan's traps. They are less likely to get in forms of rebellion. Now, all the people I read about yesterday in Ezekiel, how they did things, the logic that they received and accepted, and they thought God had left the earth and didn't see what they were doing, they got like that because they love the world system somewhere. But and at one time they may have been people like the people whose heart was like a stony ground. But they didn't grow roots. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love